It is here, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you have all been waiting for, the coveted 200th episode. We made it. We told you we're never going to give you up, never going to let you down, never going to run around and desert you.
I like dessert. It's my favorite meal.
Dessert is good. Those little cakes I made the other day were awesome. Yes, this is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you're listening to That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. Was that cheesy radio voice enough?
Yeah.
News, ladies and gentlemen. On today's monumentally mundane episode 200 of That Computer Show, we've got murder, mayhem, and wired controllers as murder weapons.
Do what now?
Yes, wireless controllers save lives, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about that later. Oh, and a little something about Star Wars. Also, Citibank may have been double-charging its app users for bill-paying and other services. Imagine paying your mortgage twice and not even finding out about it until later.
Whoops.
Yeah, awkward. Why the movies are the most expensive they've ever been. It's kind of a dumb news item, honestly. It kind of goes without saying. And an angry father retaliates with a gun after his child brats out all over Facebook. All that and more. Wasteful news on That Computer Show, starting now. Space 1999 returning to TV. Do you hear about that?
No, I haven't.
It's another cheesy 70s future-looking space show that may get a reboot a la Battlestar Galactica. Okay, so let's start today with murder, because murder is bad.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I got a guy in... Where is this guy? Dude's name is Jesus.
Jesus?
You mean Jesus?
No, it's probably Jesus. Northeastern Pennsylvania. Cops booked a man on attempted murder charges, saying he tried to strangle his wife with a video game cord.
What kind of controller was it? That matters.
It's the attempted homicide, aggravated assault with a PlayStation. Actually, I don't know. It doesn't say.
A PlayStation controller?
I don't know. It doesn't say. Not only did he attempt to strangle his wife with a video game cable, say local cops, he also had to be hospitalized for a self-inflicted stab wound to the chest after the incident. Suspect that he maybe is having some issues. Save games. Maybe he didn't save enough.
Playing a game. He got mad. He grabbed his dinner fork, stabbed himself in the chest, and then tried to strangle somebody. It's my guess.
Yeah. Let's see. That's if I can. Guess. I'm going to go. It's the Honesdale Independent. The WayneIndependent.com is what? I don't think it actually says what kind of console, because we're probably the only three people in the world that actually care.
Well, I mean, it could be a mouse cable, too.
True.
Hmm.
So, guys, if you're going to kill somebody, don't do it with a video game controller. I think it's the moral.
How about just not kill people?
Yes, that's even better advice.
Regardless of game controller, it's just, yeah. So, moving along.
What a news story.
So now your turn, Chris. You got to beat that. Beat that, boy.
Okay.
It's a news off at That Computer Show. Yeah.
All right. So Boeing is pretty proud of their brand new 787 jetliner. And, they're doing an endurance test of this vehicle, this airplane, and this is quite interesting. If you go to FlightAware, and we'll post a link to this, it shows the actual flight path of this 19-hour endurance test, and if you look at it, it actually spells out 787 and then the Boeing logo. The flight path of the actual aircraft drew this.
That's cool.
On the flight path calculator here. If you go to this site called FlightAware, it will show you the flight path of certain aircraft, and you can see 787 and all its 1979-style laser.
Yeah, I still maintain, with as expensive as this plane is, you'd think that they would have a higher resolution, drawing.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, I just hit the mic. But, I mean, it's pretty cool, I guess.
I think that's neat that they have
totally.
It shows that the guys, the engineers and the flight crew at Boeing have a sense of humor.
I'm going to totally jerk out on you, Chris. All I got to say.
Is it Boeing or is it Lockheed Martin?
This is what's wrong with our world. Yeah, if Boeing. It takes them a Boeing 787 to draw that, I could do that kind of crap with an Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah.
I think it's the other way around, Steven. Like, they're taking a huge. Okay, anyway. So it shows that they have a sense of humor there. They can draw with, you know, a $30 million aircraft.
That's it. Taking it to Toys R Us, $10, man. So how much is an Etch-a-Sketch?
It's like probably $1.50.
If you can even find the non-digital ones, are my favorite. The digital ones, they're crappy.
Digital Etch-A-Sketches?
You don't remember those in the 80s? They had them. They were LEDs. I mean, LCD.
No.
You could push left and right. Yeah, you could draw like with little squares instead of the actual beautiful.
No,
parts.
I don't. That's cool.
Yeah, it was. And if you flipped it upside down and shook it, it didn't actually clear it. You had to go through and push a button to clear it.
Interesting.
It took all the fun out of it. I do have another interesting story. You know, one of the things that, this is a video game story, one of the things that has always troubled video game graphics designers in games to make them look more realistic is human skin.
Yeah, it's all plasticky.
The way light is not just reflects off of, but it's sort of absorbed into it. They call it...
Unless you're Italian, then it's all oily and it just all bounces off.
It's like subsurface speculate. It's a... I had it here. This gentleman, his name is Jorge.
First Jesus, now Jorge.
Hey, this guy's awesome. He's got a great website, Jorge Jimenez. He's basically got this thing that used to take, 12 passes. You couldn't really do it in real time to simulate lifelike skin like they do in the movies.
Basically, it was very, very, very slow and very resource intensive.
You'd have to pre-render it, and you could do it for like TV and stuff. But to do it actually in a video game, you would need monster horsepower. Most commercial and like actual consumer products couldn't do it. This guy figured out a way to do it using a new algorithm and a two-pass process using DirectX 10, which is on just about any like modern video card that's even in my notebook and most consumer-grade gaming products. You can do it in real time. And this, I mean, I'm looking here at a video, and the guy looks like a bald version of Peter Bishop from Fringe. And it just flat out looks amazing at how realistic the skin
looks. I saw
it
earlier, and I thought Chris was being a dirty, dirty liar. It looked so good. I mean, the dude has – the textures that they use are really, really good. The guy's got some blackheads. You know, he maybe needs to get some Clarasil or something, you know.
He's got some 5 o'clock shadow going on.
Yeah. Well,
the whole premise of this is it's our imperfections that make us perfect, and that's the opening line to this demonstration. And you can go to Jorge's blog – and check out, and we'll put a link on there, Kyle, if we could. Mm-hmm. Put a link to Jorge Jimenez's blog. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
No, it's Jorge Jimenez.
All okay. In favor of muting Steven's mic.
Oh, come on!
He has also, on his site, he links to, and this is some of the really interesting bits, I think. He links to a downloadable demo that you can actually run and see this. On his machine, he can get it to run at 112 frames a second with a GTX 580, and that's a pretty decent card. He's also got a downloadable Blu-ray quality video where you can actually watch that as well. But here's the thing: the software, the source code of this demo, and all his technique is open source and available on GitHub. So he's not going to be stingy with this. So we'll see this probably in video games. Coming soon.
Very
so we'll
cool.
have like super realistic skin textures. So finally,
no more plastic people in our fake.
Do you remember
games.
Half-Life? And we were like, oh, cool. Yeah. We'd open up Half-Life, and the actual people, when they spoke, their mouths would move, and we were just blown away by that. The little triangle that was their mouth would open and close. And now we have full-on...
Ta-da!
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Very cool. So we've only got about a minute left. I want to talk about this Citibank thing. I'm going to do that on the next segment, though, because it's going to take us a couple minutes. How about how a Kentucky man got his peanut butter on naked at a local grocery store?
Was there chocolate involved?
There was NyQuil involved. It's actually not even technology-related, but, I mean, come on.
It's news.
Some naked dude breaks into an IGA and smears his body with peanut butter. That's pretty cool. Apparently, he broke in to an IGA overnight, and he was kind enough to finger paint the word "sorry" into the onto the floor. He broke into the manager's office. I don't know. Some people they speculate that maybe somebody slipped him some like bath salts or some other weird kind of a drug, sort of a thing. But the moral of the story is, I don't know. I don't even know the moral of the story. Let's just hope it wasn't crunchy peanut butter. That is all for the first segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from WOIC and streaming online at thatcomputershow.net. If you want to join in on the action, call us at, 803...
It's 248-9293.
Get your technology or pop culture questions answered. You can also tweet your questions to TCS Joe with a hashtag That Computer Show. That's #, whatever, That Computer Show. We're going to pick them up on the air. Stay tuned. Sit tight. That Computer Show will be right back. And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net or tuning in from AM 1230 WOIC. Call us at 803-748-9293 and get in on the conversation. We'll take your questions, even if they're not good. I'm kidding. No, actually, I guess I'm not kidding. Call us, 803-748-9293. I'm not sure just who I just insulted, them or me. Yeah, I love you all. Okay, so...
Goodness me.
Citibank. Citibank may have double-charged its customers using its Bill Pay app. Now, apparently, over the past couple of months, if you were using the Citibank Bill Pay app for iPad, you may have inadvertently been charged twice what you would have owed for bills or mortgage payments. New York Times says the bug started in the iPad app around July, but wasn't detected until December after consumers' complaints about payments being way off. Other mobile applications and the online bill payment system don't seem to be affected, says Citi.
So it's just the iPad app? It's not like the Android app?
According to this, now I'm reading this from theconsumerist.com. Some customers who never even used an iPad to pay bills said that they've also been hit by double charges, but that hasn't been explained away yet. The bank is promising to reimburse customers and waive any fees incurred because of the extra charges, as well as give out a few points for its rewards program. Oh, that's sweet.
It's cute.
That's a cool story, bro. We take seriously the functionality of our products and services as well as the satisfaction of our clients, quotes spokesman Andrew Brent said in a statement. So, if you use Citi and you're using an iPad and you're wondering why your account is negative 10,000, I think I might know why.
Negative 10,000?
Negative 10,000. Oh, well, maybe it's over 9,000, whatever.
I mean, that's a lot.
It is a lot. else do we got?
I have a little bit of news concerning Kodak.
They filed for Chapter, what, 11?
They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last month. And we spoke a little bit about that. They've been in the business of making and selling cameras for over 120 years. I mean, anyone who knows anything about cameras and film and photography knows the name Kodak. Well, Eastman Kodak has announced, was yesterday, that it plans to stop producing cameras. So, like, the camera company is now no longer going to be making cameras.
Well, you know, I think of Kodak as a film company because... I've played with a couple of their Kodak digital cameras, and they really kind of sucked.
Actually, I've played around with some of them and found them to be some of the easiest of all digital cameras to use.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah.
I've seen some pretty decent photos come out of, you know, their higher-end point-and-shoots.
Okay,
but they never really entered into the upper-end market that was dominated by the likes of Nikon and Canon.
They pushed, like, the CVS $99 digital camera market and I mean, they're pretty crappy. Now, I do have a ZI-8 HD handheld.
Gone.
But it's a great little camera.
Yeah.
But, man, what does this mean for them? So they're going to stop making cameras. Are you going to still... what are they going to make?
Candlesticks, probably.
I'm not really certain what Kodak's going to be doing.
I mean, film. I really film think... film is what I thought of when I thought Kodak forever. That and Bill Cosby.
Okay.
Pudding Pops. Hey, it's Kodak.
Pokemans.
Mm-hmm. Well, the company expects to pay $30 million in separation benefits for the employees that are going to be displaced by this decision.
Wow.
This, according to online news here. But it's going to save the company $100 million. Their annual operating budget of $100 million. I don't really know... what they're going to be doing. So.
Interesting. We'll look into this and see if we can't get some information on it. Because I know with the big Chapter 11 thing, that really, I mean, it rocked an American institution. So I don't know. Okay, Facebook. We all know it. We all use it. Bookface. It's a face of books.
Yeah.
Some people love it. Some people hate it. Well, apparently, an angry father has retaliated online. His daughter... Because, you know, a lot of my Facebook posts, people are griping about stuff.
My Facebook.
What, did I say something funny?
You combined MySpace.
Oh, MySpace. My Facebook page. So, an angry American IT... Now, what's interesting is I'm reading this from theregister.co.uk. Chris showed me this earlier this morning.
I actually saw it on Reddit earlier in the week.
So, Reddit saw it on The Register, saw it on... Anyway, so...
He posted the video to his daughter's Facebook page. So, basically, so his daughter's friends and the rest of his family could see.
Okay, she basically bashed her parents and said, I shouldn't have to make my bed and clean the house. That's why we have
basically
a maid.
Being a bratty little teenager.
Totally bratting out.
Now, granted, we probably have one or two teenagers listen to the show. Listen.
Don't be a brat or your dad's going to pull out his gat and
shoot your
bust a cap, yo.
And it's exactly what this gentleman did. He, as a punishment to his daughter for, you know, basically lambasting them on Facebook.
And then having the audacity to block the parents.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
guy's
in IT. He's like...
She blocks his parents, but I'm almost... Parents. Her parents, yeah. I'm almost certain that, like, her Aunt Molly or someone else saw it and called up and was like, do you know what your kid is saying about you on Facebook? He reads, it's an 8-minute and 23-second
video. He was working on her computer. He had just spent $130 on software for her computer, and he was working on it at the time.
So, 8 minutes, 23 seconds, he reads the letter, and then he moves the camera and says, you see that on the ground? That's your laptop. And you see this right here? This is my 45. Bang.
he empties the entire clip.
He puts...
Of hollow point rounds into the notebook. And
but looking at the centering, he might not have hit the hard drive. I wonder if he did that on purpose. I was looking.
There, I'm pretty certain with the fact that those hollow point rounds that...
Well, I don't know, because it's hollow point
round. It
probably
disintegrated the inside of that notebook. Hard drive, motherboard, everything. So
yeah, I got to wonder, because... We may have to try this. We may try this at home.
We'll take an old dead notebook out to the farm.
See what a hollow point does to it. Yeah, because I'm wondering. I don't know if there's enough mass for the hollow point to really mushroom out. But anyway, this is pretty awesome. Check this out on YouTube. 3,000 dislikes. 36,000 likes.
Yeah, there's 3,000 bratty teenagers going, if my dad ever did that...
Emptying the dishwasher, making her bed, felt that her parents should pay her for doing these things rather than nagging her to get a job. The young lady added, quote, we have a cleaning lady for a reason, and also suggested that her parents should get off their fat asses and pour their own coffee. Now, I don't really drink coffee, but Emmy, if you're listening to this and you do something like this, hun, I will end you. Mm. Let's just get it out there. This is, I mean, wow. I got pretty awesome.
How old was she?
I don't know.
15 or 16 is what he mentions in the thing. Which, you know, I mean.
It's a rebellious age.
It is, but at 16 years old, I mean, I had a job. I worked at a grocery store, but I had a job to pay for my car and, you know.
You had a car
on.
At 16?
Yeah. It was a Volkswagen.
I didn't even have a bike at 16. No, maybe I did.
Well, you lived out in Gilbert. You needed to like.
I need a horse. Yeah. A horse and a buggy. I don't. What was this? Amish country? Gilbert is not Amish country.
I was in a small town in
Georgia. We've had running water for at least 5 years. Wait.
I was in a small town in Georgia, so my first car did have a Baja conversion with straight pipe and like the no rear end. It was so redneck.
It was
a necessity in Georgia.
Yeah, bare necessities. Yeah. So Windows 8 consumer preview, February 29th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I'm wondering if anybody cares. Actually, I'm a little worried because we played with a developer preview, and it was downright ugly. It was very clunky. Metro, unless you have a touch screen, Metro doesn't really seem to make a whole lot of sense, the new user interface.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. In fact, it is not intuitive at all. For a non-touch device. And that kind of begs the question, how far ahead are they thinking with Windows 8? Granted, we've already sold a couple of desktops that, you know, were designed to be running Windows 8. We recommend these customers use touch screen monitors, which are going to be great, you know, if you have a touch screen monitor. But what about the millions of other computers out there that would run Windows 8 just fine that don't have a touch screen? Also, the majority of PC users... And notebook users aren't going to be, you know, jumping to that new interface, the new touch. I mean, right. I don't touch my screen when I'm, you know, coding websites or playing video games.
So. I do, but I've been using those devices for a really long time, so for me it's not a big learning curve, but for a lot of people, I mean, because generally touching your screen is a bad thing.
It means
you're gonna break it. I don't know. Although they do claim that it will run 70%, it can start up to 70% faster than Windows 7 PCs is what, you know, what they say in the buzzwords.
They're probably also saying that because I think the hardware requirements to run Windows 8 are going to be, you need a solid state hard drive. You need to run, you know, EFI.
So we will see. We'll see. I mean, I'm.
We'll download and play with it.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic.
I like Windows 7.
I like Windows 7 a lot. I'm worried about Metro, though, because, you know, doing away with the start button and all that jazz. Hey, have you heard about the Raspberry Pi?
No.
The Raspberry Pi computer? And I'm going to send
the link. Unlike Raspberry Pi?
Pi sounds really good right now, but what are you talking about?
What are you holding out on, some Pi?
The Raspberry Pi, it's an educational project computer. It's $25 for the Model A. They now have a $35 Model B that has networking. It's basically a 700 megahertz little processor, runs Linux, 128 megs of RAM.
Oh.
Uses SD for storage. Power is provided through a micro USB port. Its target is educational stuff, but what's cool is it's actually due out in about a week.
That's really cool.
It is really cool, and it is really tiny.
Uses a 700 megahertz Broadcom ARM processor that's right. Similar to what would power your phone. Running Linux, 128 megabytes of RAM, and it has an SSD. I mean, SD
slot for micro SD. But it's cool. It's
very.
You're
cool.
Not going to game on this thing, but this is cool for like.
Well, it would be great for like, say, you need
project stuff.
Yeah, you create. You wanted to computerize an appliance in your home that would like transmit the temperature of your refrigerator to a web page, or you wanted to create a robot.
A robot,
and
exactly.
this would power a robot.
USB ports so that you could plug it in for the robot arms and the laser cannons.
So, laser cannons.
Yeah, we're gonna play. We'll get a couple of these when they come in or when they come out.
Those will be fun.
Yeah, it's really cool.
We can try shooting them, see if it disintegrates them.
With a hollow point?
Yeah.
Only if you say something bad about doing chores at that computer store.
I'm going to.
Yeah, I bet you will. Tesla Model X, that looks really cool. Have you seen this thing?
I have, actually.
You want to talk about it? How much time do we have? 4 minutes? You want to talk about the Model X?
I can mention a little bit about it. I don't know all the details.
It has X in the name, so it has to be cool.
Tesla is a car company that's been building really cool all-electric cars here for a number of years. They're based out of California. Named after Nikola Tesla. They had the model, the Tesla Roadster, which has been out for some time, which is their hot rod. It's a very fast car.
It has falcon wing doors.
The S?
The X. It has falcon wings.
Yeah.
Can it fly?
The S is their sedan. And it's been out, I think it's due out, if it's not already out. And the S is actually pretty cool. The S is like their sedan. The X is kind of odd, in my opinion. It's a crossover, or a cross between a sedan and like an SUV as far as space or whatnot. It's a bigger, heavier car, but it still has killer performance. We're talking this thing outruns the car you're driving right now. 0 to 60 in under 5 seconds, between 150 and 200 mile range. And it looks the business. Now, granted, it's expensive. It cost about $50,000, but it's in the same market bracket as, say, like a higher-end BMW or Mercedes, and since this thing doesn't use any gasoline, you actually end up paying about the same as if you bought a Taurus, because it doesn't burn any gasoline.
I wonder how far can you go, because it says the 300-mile battery pack is an extra $20,000.
The one that's going to be released here in the States, the first one, has a 160-mile battery, but you can get the 230 or the 300-mile battery pack as an upgrade. It just depends on how many miles you drive in the average day. It only takes 4 hours to charge it with the current charger, but Tesla says they are working on, and should be at least this year, a charger that will recharge this car to 90% capacity in around 45 minutes.
Sweet. So you park it when you're like at the mall.
Yes.
Okay. So that's all for this segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from AM 1230 WOIC and streaming from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break with more news and knowledge. Stay tuned and sit tight. What do I have for you? How about Columbia being one of the top 20 most romantic cities in the United States as rated by Amazon.com? Yeah, it has something to do with the number of, like, Al Green music CDs bought or something like that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, dart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap. And we are back with the third and final segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from WOIC 1230 AM and streaming from thatcomputershow.net. Call us at, Kyle, what's the number?
748-9293.
803 is the area code if you're outside of the Columbia area. You can give us a call. Get in on the action. Here's one that is interesting to me.
Two.
Oh, thank you. Okay, and actually, I've run into this firsthand. You know how a lot of places will now price match with online stuff? Sorry. You know, if you bring an ad in, we'll price match online, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting article from The Consumerist. Target will not price match other Targets.
What?
And I ran into this when I bought you guys shirts. Remember when I bought the shirts for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to read this. Two Target locations, only a short drive apart. One line of dinnerware on clearance. Jordan and his fiance registered for dishes on clearance at the time. They decided to go to buy all of the pieces they could from all of the other stores. The place settings were cheaper at one store than the other, and Target refused to price match.
That is very strange.
Yeah, I think it has something. The manager, when I talked to them, the manager said it had to do with the stock levels and demand and blah, 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 blah. But it seems to me that if I can go to a place online, buy it for a certain price, but I can't go to a physical location from the same store, that seems a little broken to me.
That is strange.
Yeah.
Well, these stores do have to pay for, like, shipping the product to the physical location and pay for the...
Well, with Target and a lot of other stores, they actually warehouse product at the stores and ship from those locations. I don't know if Target's one of those. So it's a little weird, you know, with price matching being all the rage with a lot of stores.
Well, at least you can actually go online to buy stuff here.
Well, I can. Where can't I?
In Iran.
And Iran.
Well, it seems that Iran has cut off the internet to all of its users.
Oops,
pretty
they
much.
Did it again.
We were getting reports, and this is from yesterday, that Gmail, Hotmail, Yahoo, and Facebook are not accessible in Iran. And the information minister for the Islamic Republic news agency has basically denied that there's a problem or that they're blocking it. However, we are getting news reports from people in the country who are able to get around the firewall, if you will. They're using things like Tor, anonymous browsing, and VPN connections, and proxy servers. But they suspect that this is due to the upcoming anniversary, which is today, of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. So they don't want people to get together.
Because aren't there supposed to be protests today?
Yeah, there probably are. And we'll probably hear later today about said protests or if things are happening. So, but it's just interesting. They just pulled the plug. I could see some gentleman in their olive green outfit walking over and pulling the Ethernet jack out of the wall. So no internet for you.
Wow. So. Wow. That, you know, because that's really kind of what started the whole Arab Spring and one of the things that legitimized Twitter as a citizen journalist source of news.
Yeah.
Interesting. I got something here. Valve. You guys know Steam and Valve, the game stuff where you pay to buy the games on the internet and you download them onto the computers and play them?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is probable, quote, that hackers obtained old Steam transactional data.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Valve CEO Gabe Newell said in a statement to Steam users, as a result of a hack from last November, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
It's probable that hackers have obtained a backup file with information on Steam transactions between 2004 and 2008.
Is this the same leak that was probably discussed in the leaked FBI, Scotland Yard conversation.
Oh, I don't know.
Last week.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, the hack was from November.
Yeah.
Compromised material includes usernames, email addresses, encrypted billing addresses, and encrypted credit card information. It does not include Steam passwords. Dear Steam users and Steam forum users, we continue our investigation, blah, 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 blah. Recently, we learned that it is probable that intruders obtained a copy of your entire life, blah, blah, blah. We do not have any evidence that the encrypted credit card numbers or billing addresses have been compromised. However, as I said in November, it's a good idea to watch your credit card activity and statements, and keeping SteamGuard on is a good idea. Very interesting, yet another company hackified by the bad guys.
Wouldn't credit cards from 04 be invalid now?
Yes and no. You know, a lot of credit card manufacturers, not manufacturers, a lot of credit card vendors will give you, when they send you a new card, they just change the date.
They keep the numbers the same.
Keep the numbers the same, just change the date. And also, if it was a credit card from 2008, 19, it's still possible that it would be okay in 2K12. Yeah. So, but what's really interesting, though, is with all of that personal data, you know, we've talked a little bit about lifejacking, the whole concept of reconstructing somebody's life from hacked emails and Facebook and things like that.
Yep.
You just add to this stuff to make it a little bit easier to steal their identity. So you don't have to cut someone's face off and staple it to your own anymore. You can actually just learn all about them. It's a lot less messy.
That would be painful.
Yep, yep, yep.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So open source is pretty cool, right?
I mean, it can be.
It allows you to like share and collaborate and really speeds up the development of certain software. In fact, I was reading something interesting today about how HTC is delaying their release of Ice Cream Sandwich, the next version of Android, for some of their devices, and somebody complained on the register, well, they're having the wrong people do it, because the open source guys at XDA Developers have already got Ice Cream Sandwiches on Ice Cream Sandwiches, listen to me, Ice Cream Sandwich ice on cream most sandwiches. Of HTC's devices already. Open source can be good in speedy development.
Can be good.
Speedy development, though, is not great when it comes to malware and Trojans. I mean, it's great for them.
Trojan malware.
Exactly. What I'm talking about is the Zeus crime kit,
tool kit, I guess.
Yeah. It's the cybercrime toolkit. And the Trojan Citadel. These are basically tools that cyber crooks can buy or get and use to build software to do everything from grab your credit cards off your computer, and, you know, sit in between your machine and your bank and grab that information. It's basically used as...
There's even a series of forums where people can swap tips and tricks and tactics on how to build better malware using these toolkits.
So the group, the forum of people who created the software have now opened sourced the project, if you will, and are now even taking like bug reports and discussion with the e-banking fraudsters about improvements and new features in the cyber criminal software. So, for example, new features in this project include AES encryption for the malware configuration files, support for security vendor website blacklisting, and technology designed to keep the software off the Zeus tracking websites. It's getting kind of crazy.
It's getting real in the Whole Foods parking lot.
You know, what's interesting is how fast this piece of software is developing. Since, what was it, December, there have been 5 new versions of this software. If only legitimate software moved this fast. So
now, yeah. In fairness, you know, we at that computer store fix a lot of computers that have these kind of infections, and sometimes this software is pretty badly written and hastily cobbled together.
Yeah.
But that's starting to change. So
yeah, when we there's must now be cautious. Tech support.
Yeah, there's tech support
for the malware.
Malware guys.
Yes, the malware that I wrote to try and steal credit cards is having a problem. I keep getting a PC load letter error, and the other end of the guy, what the heck is that?
Yeah, so, yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff, man.
General protection fault while trying to infect a computer. Oh,
wow.
That's great.
Let's see. We talked about the Tesla. I had a cool something to talk about. Oh, the top 20.
You were talking about how we're the romantic city, according to what metric?
Amazon.com announces the top 20 most romantic cities in the United States.
How does Amazon know how romantic
how.
We are?
After compiling sales data of romance novels and relationship books, Kindle books and print books, romantic comedy movies, Barry White albums, sexual wellness products, and more, since January 1st, on a per capita basis in cities with over 100,000 residents.
Okay.
The top 20 most romantic cities are Knoxville, Alexandria, Springfield, Orlando, Cincinnati, Vancouver, Miami, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Dayton, Ohio, Columbia, South Carolina, number 10. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, Pittsburgh, Clearwater, some other ones. But it doesn't really matter because we're there, number 10, baby.
I thought we were one of the most angry cities in the world.
I was going to say, I think maybe... Maybe they're looking at this data wrong.
Never mind.
What if they're looking at this data wrong, that the reason that all these products are sold is because...
We have the worst relationships in the country.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of room that needs to be made up, you know, a lot of ground that needs to be covered. So, you know, women buying romance novels and men buying...
flowers and So
They should go by men buying flowers and things like that, not Barry White CDs. But yeah. Barry White is pretty awesome.
So that's...
Al Green.
Really great news. Really, really great news for us in Columbia.
Okay.
I'm going to tell everybody
know. In related news, South Carolina customers are getting reminders via email that they owe the government money from Amazon sales.
I got one.
I don't know if I've gotten one yet, but...
I haven't bought anything from Amazon in a while, so...
Yeah, Amazon customers in South Carolina are receiving email notices informing them that they owe the state money. This was part of their agreement with the state to have a 5-year tax exemption, sales tax exemption.
Yeah.
And so
I went through the process. Amazon basically has links straight to where you need to go to pay off your
tax.
Yeah. I had like a $15 thing that I owed the state.
It's interesting though. Amazon does not give information on customers' purchases to the state. So for all of you looking to evade taxes, shame on you. But Amazon's not going to report it to the state. They just are going to tell you, "Hey, man, be cool. Be cool." So how much time do we have left, Kyle?
We got about 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Very interesting. So driving stoned doubles your risk of a serious car crash.
Doubles,
yeah. I'm reading this from IO9. They've gotten this from the British Medical Journal. It says that smoking pot within a few hours of driving was associated with a nearly twofold risk of being involved in a serious car crash. Especially strong for fatal collisions, although it's still not as dangerous as driving drunk. But if you drive drunk and high while texting and eating a hamburger, you will rip a hole in the space-time continuum. So don't do
it. Okay.
And I'm talking to you, Chris. Just saying.
I don't eat. I certainly do not eat texting.
What is this? BitTorrent piracy doesn't affect U.S. box office. Is that something you want to talk about?
Well, yeah. This is interesting. If you look at the news today, any technology news, it seems like the majority of the headlines are, you know, MPAA says something about piracy. RIAA wants this, that, the other. ACTA bill, blah, blah, blah. SOPA this. Bills trying to be passed by so-and-so and such, try and curtail piracy, this huge, huge thing that seems to be, you know, rotting at all of the box office sales. Everybody's going to go broke. They're going to live in cardboard houses. Butkus. According to a new academic paper from the University of Minnesota and Wesley College, they examined the link between BitTorrent downloads and box office sales. And contrary to what you might think, there seems to be absolutely no relationship between BitTorrent downloads and ticket sales in the United States. Now, there is a relationship between BitTorrent downloads and international sales, but the relationship actually is more attributed to the length of time between when a movie is released in the United States, or when it's actually released, and the time it's released internationally. The longer that time, the higher percentage of
people want to see the movie because people are social media-fying about it.
Well, I don't think that the movie houses or the publishers have realized how small the world has become when it comes to things like entertainment. When you release a movie in the United States, if it's a big box office film, it's going to get advertised. People in the social media sphere are going to talk about it. Somebody in the UK is going to be like, "Oh, this sounds amazing. I want to see the new Pirates of the Caribbean film." no, you won't see it until it's out on DVD in the United States. Well, except for if they really want to see it. They want to curtail piracy, release the film there too.
And which is part of Steven and Chris's SOPA V2. Make the content available.
Yeah, if you don't want people to pirate your stuff, make it available. They'll pay for it. People will obviously pay for it. Look what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go to the theater and spend more money than we should to watch a film we've already seen.
But here's the interesting thing. Some of my nearest, dearest, and closest friends, and I'm crying real tears inside, aren't going to go see the movie. And for some of those people, it is because of the cost. Now,
we're talking about Star Wars Episode 1 in 3D for those of you who are like scratching your heads.
And I'm super excited. My daughter, I don't think she ever sat through Episode 1 in its entirety. She was too young, attention span too short. But we're going tonight. We're going to watch Jar Jar Binks. We're going to throw popcorn at the screen in 3D. But
the pod race scene is going to be amazing.
NASCAR for Star Wars people. I mean, come on. Rednecks the world unite. Rednecks the galaxy unite. But, okay, going to the movies is the most expensive it's ever been. According to another study, the National Association of Theater Owners says the average ticket price set a record high in 2011. Now, this kind of goes without saying because you have, like, you know, inflation and stuff like
that. When I was a kid, movies were 5 cents and where's my pudding?
Whatever. But why are movies so expensive?
Well, there is a legitimate argument that we put a lot more money, we invest more money into the actual making of the films. It could cost hundreds of millions of dollars for
some
movies.
Are we spending that money wisely?
I don't think we are. Because some of the best films that I've seen recently are smaller budget films that are released independently. Like they'll make their run in the independent film channels and circuits. And then to the box office.
I'm going to call out one of the local theaters, and I welcome them to respond. Now, this isn't their fault. They're part of a chain. Carmike in Harbison. They used to have the bucket. It was a bucket of popcorn. You paid like $15, and every time you brought the bucket back, you could get a refill for like 50 cents. And that was awesome. I still have my Indiana Jones and the Aliens Crystal Skull bucket. Now the bucket is $17 or $18, but to refill it, it's $3.50. I bought a bottle of water. Now, we sell bottled water at that computer store for $1 after tax, 20 ounces. Bottle of water from the theater last night was $4. American dollars, four of them.
$4 for a bottle of water?
Yes. Now, I think that maybe the reason that ticket sales were down 4 or 5% was because you're charging too flippin' much for your tickets. For three people, I spent like $50 or $60 to go to a movie.
It's crazy.
And it wasn't even a 3D movie.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing this film that's going to be coming out soon. Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. It's a new Steve Carell film. It's an independent film produced by a group of guys here. I'm not going to listen. We don't have enough time. But
yeah, we got
independent
go.
Film, probably low budget, probably the best thing I've seen come out.
Well, we're going to have to check that out when it comes out in theaters. That's all the time we have for this week's That Computer Show. Check us out 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays on WOIC or thatcomputershow.net. Get downloads, blog, past episodes, and more. Don't forget to look us up on Twitter at TCS Joe. Until next week, this is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you've been listening to That Computer Show. Show.